Welcome to the Mother and Daughter Breast of Friends podcast. And this episode is proudly sponsored by the Eye Correction Centre. They're not just about improving sight, they're about enhancing lives with the state-of-the-art technology and expert care. The Eye Correction Centre is your partner in seeing the beauty of the world more clearly. Visit eyecorrectioncentre.co.uk to learn how they can help you or your loved ones see a brighter future.
Mother and Daughter Breast of Friends podcast. And I've always loved what we do, Mum. Do you know what I mean? For so many reasons. But I really love it now.
Well, this is incredible. You know, today I should be sitting on a sofa taking the army on over discrimination, and instead I'm sitting in this gorgeous garden. I'm three glasses of wine deep. I actually don't care. I'm sitting here with some fabulous people that we're about to do a podcast with. Well, I'm in heaven.
Oh, well, I know. It's gorgeous, isn't it? And this is what... And we're going to introduce our guests in a minute. We're in Sprotbrough. I always like to say Sprotbrough. I think that's how you say it. It's a beautiful part of Doncaster. And we're
coming... You put your posh voice on.
No, I didn't.
You're in Sprotbrough. You said Sprotbrough.
Sprotbrough.
A beautiful part of Doncaster.
You had your wine voice on. But we are... you know what, it keeps happening at the minute, and I keep having to sort of have a minute, is that how many wonderful people we are surrounded by. And I don't want to go into the whole kind of massively sort of gushy speech, but I think especially in the last couple of months, we've had so many moments where I've realised, you know what, it's going to make me a bit emotional, when you do good, right, and you do stay kind... Kindness does come back, and it really does. And the amount of times recently that we've either been able to pick up the phone and people have gone, yeah, of course I will, or we've, you know, asked for some help with something, people have gone, yeah, of course I will. And it's just beautiful. It really is. Oh, the wind's picking up now.
You're absolutely right there. And the amount of people that these podcasts are actually reaching, as I read out to you today, and all right, they may be listening because of hereditary breast cancer, but there are other parts of their lives that it's touching as well, mental health and, you know, other illnesses and so on. So that's why it's great to encompass different things that could not necessarily be linked, but people have as well. And the... we are seriously touching a lot of people and helping a lot of people. It's brilliant.
I just feel like with them, you know, our intention originally with this was to share our journey and to hopefully, you know, share other people's journeys as well and tap into the expert advice that we are privy to, you know. And again, in this last year, I've just sort of had to take a step back and go, God, we really do know the best, don't we? You know, and that's because I've grown up with these people. So yeah, you kind of take it for granted. But like you say, you know, we have fun. We have a lot of laughs. We meet a lot of different people. And if you are interested in doing that as well and having a laugh and having good fun and making the most out of life,
yeah,
right, this podcast is for you.
Yeah, I feel grateful and blessed to still be here. Because if I hadn't had the kind of type of brain that thinks outside the box, I wouldn't be here.
She's neurospicy is what I like to call it. I've
always thought outside the box, always. And as far as I'm concerned, there are no such things as obstacles that can't be overcome. Cancer was one that I didn't know how to overcome. So the only thing I could do was think of how to prevent it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. Because I realised that I'm not clever enough to have suddenly invented a cure for cancer within the next...
You probably have, you know, sort of somewhere on a piece of paper. Do you know what I mean?
But well, I did... funnily enough, I did suggest that I had tamoxifen as a prevention when it was introduced as a treatment, right? And they said, oh, don't be silly. It's been passed as a treatment, not as a prevention. 20 years later, what is it? It's a prevention.
Well, there we go.
You know, I mean, but anyway, I did what I thought was the right thing. I thought, well, best thing to do is get rid of the whole blooming lot and get it gone. And then Yeah. I've prevented it. Anyway, so let's not keep going on about me. Let's talk about who these delightful people are that are absolutely wrecking my diet because I've lost 2 stone. I'm now put.
She likes to tell people she's lost 2 stone. Yeah. She likes to tell everybody, but put 2 stone on.
Yeah, well.
And that she's lost it. I mean, this is, you know, this is what happens when you get to become a day over fabulous, right?
Well, I'm going to actually be younger than you on my next birthday.
Yeah, you see, it's a good job I've got a strong will here, isn't it? But yeah, it does give us really good pleasure to introduce you to our next guest, whose beautiful garden we are sitting in, drinking champagne.
Amazing, isn't it?
I just wish this was like, I'm not going home, you know this. Sid Gall, hello.
Hello, Becky, how are you?
Thank you so much.
Wendy.
Hello there, hi.
Thank you so much. You can hear in the background, if you ever hear a ding, that's Mum having a sip out of a drink, right, as she puts it down on the...
All right, I'll just keep drinking it.
And we also have as well here your beautiful daughter, our gorgeous Anya as
Hello.
Well. Anya Gall. Do check her out on all streaming platforms, please, ladies and gentle folks. She is a singer-songwriter extraordinaire.
Thank you.
And do you know what, darling? Actually, it's you we should thank because it's because of you that we're here.
Like you said before, it's all the network that we're building and these community, but I'm very grateful you're here as well.
Oh, can I just tell you about Anya?
Please do tell me. I want to know everything about these two gorgeous people.
Right. So Anya, I was at work. So where I work is BBC Radio Sheffield. And, you know, obviously as well, we work with Steelworks and how wonderful Steelworks have been with us and supporting us
Absolutely,
with loads of different things. And then unbeknownst to me one day, I'm covering a shift. And this girl walks in, this lovely girl with Tom from Steelworks, and goes, yeah, you're interviewing Anya, who's part of our artist development. I went, ah, how the planets align.
I remember it crystal clear.
Yeah, and you were in as well to talk about you know, the fact that you'd written songs during lockdown. That's when
you
started.
Yes, I remember.
And how old were you?
When I came to you.
When you started writing songs?
Oh, I think 13 or 14. So a little while back now, but yeah.
I mean, these talented, beautiful people. I mean, what do I know? I know, just look. So during lockdown, and you started writing songs, then started recording them, then started releasing them, and then obviously joined with Steelworks Studios. And
Amazing.
now is Thank smashing you. It up and down the country. She does so much for different charities, and I mean so much. Right, she just goes out busking. You're smashing it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I can't actually wait to hear you.
I'm excited to sing for you someday.
I seriously mean that. I mean, I made you listen to me, but I actually
She's
really
got a killer voice.
Want to listen to you.
Do you know what we'll do? Do you know what we'll do? Because we've never done this before, but we can. Because it's a podcast, so we can do what we want. Should we put one of your songs at the end of this podcast?
Love it. Let's do it. Always. Yes,
for a moment, I thought you were going to say we should all sing.
Don't let him sing.
I know we can all sing.
Do
as
not
well.
Let this man sing.
That's not very. He's your biggest fan, Anya.
He's my biggest fan, and I love him indefinitely. But yeah, no, nobody needs to hear that.
Maybe a few more glasses of wine.
No. Wrong direction.
We're going to get one.
I know I'll sound good to myself, but I don't know about the others.
Don't you take it, Sid. You know, and if you have a dream, my darling, you go for it. So from then as well, obviously our paths have entwined on several occasions. And then you came and did, you sang at an event that I was hosting.
Yes, I loved
it. In Chesterfield,
it.
Which was lovely. And that's when I met your lovely dad.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
who was there in the crowd. Right, are we wearing pink at the time? Because it was a pink
was.
Event. Yes,
yeah.
I was, yeah. I thought you were. And you know, I'm one of these people now, and I do think I'm a very good judge of character these days. I didn't used to be. I was terrible. And I mean terrible, because I wanted everyone to like me. So I was just, I was terrible at it. Now I can almost sniff badness. But I can also really envelop kindness, right? Mm. And as soon as I met Sid, you just went, yeah. This is a beautiful man.
I will completely agree there. The minute that he greeted me at the door, I thought, gosh.
Energy.
What a lovely person. And as well, so lovely. This kind of welcome. I take people into my heart when I run the helpline. And I've already taken you two into my heart. And you'll be there until you don't need to be in my heart.
Or you don't want to be.
I'll be there. I'm saying.
I would very much like to be a part of your heart.
Yeah, well, people do get into parts of my heart. And my heart, apparently it's a good job that I had my breast removed because it's gave more space for my heart.
Well, I tell you, that's something I've never heard before.
So I'm going to agree with you on
somebody
that.
Somebody said that to me the other night and said, it's a good job you've not got any of those anymore because your heart's so big it needed the space.
Well, blooming it.
That's quite poetic.
Surgery machine makes sense.
I'm not going to have any built on.
Well, that is cute. That. Well, do you know what was even better though? Let me just tell you this. So we met Sid, and obviously, like I say, you know, mine and Annie's past sort of continue to entwine. The biggest thing I love about my job is that I'm a platform. You know, I can be a voice for other people, and if someone's doing good, I can. You know, if once I run it past the producers and sneak it past bosses and break rules, don't tell them I said that. Do what I want. But then your dad said, you reached out to me, and this is what got me, right, is you sent me a message, right? And it was near Christmas, and you went, I love what you're doing. I think your charity's brilliant. I'd love to support you. And amazing. That, it is amazing, because you know what? We are blessed to have so many amazing sponsors and supporters, right? But we have to find them, not the other way around. So thank you.
No, it's a pleasure.
That is amazing, because that's one thing I'm really bad at, is actually finding support. I have to fundraise to run the helpline. I have to run charity shops to keep it going because I don't get any funding. So it's not that easy. And I'm actually rubbish at doing that sort of thing. So when people actually come forward to you to actually say we'd like to help, I mean, actually, I'm going to cry now.
Please don't cry, I'll cry.
But it is, you know, and that's what I mean. It just came from such a pure heart. And then, you know, what we like always to do with this, the podcast, is anybody that's willing to support it, we want you on it. Do you know what I mean? We like Mum says, we do, we have got big hearts, you know, and I make a joke of this on air sometimes, that once you're in my life, unfortunately, you don't leave, right? And so this wind died out a minute. and unfortunately, you know, unfortunately for you or whatever, you don't leave. So you know, this is it now. You'll be on this journey with us. So it's nice.
We're here to stay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And already, so we're going to talk about an event that you're going to come and do for us very, very shortly. But I want to come to Sid. Do you know how incredible this gentleman is, and how he's like the pioneer in so much of the eye world. Not.
I wouldn't say I'm a pioneer. I would say very much a plodder, but, you know, a sincere plodder, I would say.
I've looked you up, actually, on the journey here. And
she's not been arrested for this show.
How wonderful your work is and how much you've influenced everywhere and the things that you've done. And you've actually given me the confidence to go and have laser eye surgery, as long as you do it.
Well, that's not putting any pressure on me, but
no pressure. But that's the only way I'm going to have it done.
So talk to me, Sid. Let's talk about you know what you do. So you've got the Eye Correction Centre, which is across the East Coast, isn't it? So we've got Hull, Scunthorpe, Lincoln. Where am I missing?
So the East Coast is pretty much those areas, and Grimsby.
And Grimsby,
so
that's it.
Kind of covers the north and the south of the Humber. And then we go down to Lincoln Way. I built that on the back of my own practice, which originated in Grimsby, and then moved over to Hull and spread down to Lincoln. And then I met a lovely person, Sian Kwa, in Manchester Way. We worked together for a short while. And we had very similar, you know, when I see you two together, I feel you almost know what the other person is going to say before they say it. So my relationship with Sian professionally was in very similar.
Oh, wonderful.
That's lovely when it's like that, isn't it?
And it's amazing when it took me a long time to find a professional colleague who I could think and work with like that, you know. So it was only natural that we decided we should find a way to work together. And what we did was we created UK West, because obviously it's miles to travel up and down the country every day. And he looks after the West Coast on that side of the Pennines, and I work on this side. But we work very similarly. We're trying to build something under a common umbrella, which is doing its part. It's independent care services, of course. It's not NHS. But we do work in NHS hospitals too. But what we're trying to do is find solutions where people are struggling on one area to find a source of, treatment through the independent sector. And, you know, we try and make it as valuable to the people who are coming and accessing the service. We put a good amount of investment into it so that what we have earned, we put back into the service as much as we can. And hopefully we've done a good job. Thanks.
From what I've read, you've not just done a good job, you've done an amazing job.
Well, you really have. And there's a big sort of part of that comes up quite a lot, actually, which is that you care, you know, and that's what's most important to you is literally your care of your patients and the well-being of your patients is what is most first and foremost. There was an interesting thing when I was talking to your team as well. And not that I was like, so, you know, searching for a sort of for a link. But I thought, you know, if we're talking about, what we can do to prevent things, what we can do to hopefully sort of make our lives better. And I was talking to a member of your team and it really resonated with me, actually, in that how much you can do for eye well-being.
Yeah.
Right. And actual prevention of eye degeneration. And that's something you're really passionate about and even working with schools with, is that right?
Well, I mean, education is the key. I mean, you described earlier as well, you know, that a large part of your life is about educating people about things that they're not unaware of. Because yep. being unaware means when they do discover it, it's probably
quite late.
Into the disease process. So, I mean, that's one way we hope we can contribute.
Wonderful.
Which is to educate. And education is not always connected, well, is very rarely connected to remuneration. So it is all, you have to be genuinely interested in education.
Yeah.
You have to be able to give up your time, put a lot of work in to give you an idea to make a decent presentation can be a full day's work. At least if you're going to present it at a standard which should be reasonably good. We educate members of the public. We've done events to the public directly. We educate colleagues, other members within the team so that we can increase their knowledge and skills so that they can function at a higher level. So we put you've spoken to Jill, my colleague.
Yeah.
it's quite a complex affair, education, because it has to go through quite a lot of hoops to get things approved, signed off. And of course, we have to spend a lot of time showcasing what we're doing to people who would potentially benefit to it, because you know there's so much stuff out there. It's how do you present it in a manner that people can actually see value, so that they can then attend and actually get something from it.
Again, sort of what became clear for us when we first started doing this podcast, and then it made us well. I think that's kind of made us realize that's what we've always done. Is that you? The professors, you know, yourselves, you are doing amazing things, you know, in the line that you're in, you know, you are making mass advancements, you are sort of changing the directive in a way, but how do you get that across to the everyday person in a terminology that they can understand?
Correct.
Because it's about sort of saying, well, we need to be a voice for that and sort of say, right, okay, this is what it means for you here, and this is what it means for you. Just because you don't live in a certain area or eat in certain places or do certain things doesn't mean that you can't access what we're talking about. But it's difficult to get that through, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is my first podcast, I'll be honest with you.
Well, let's hope it's not your last.
Ding, ding, ding. I absolutely, genuinely believe that what we put out reaches a much bigger audience than we even envisaged, actually, because the people that are listening to them and that have commented have got nothing to do with inherited breast cancer, but they do have obviously other things that they've got concerns about and so on, and have come back and have enjoyed the humour, the banter between you and I, because you're a clown, but that's beside the point. And
I'm not even going to try and describe Becky's face right now.
Seriously, it is a great platform to introduce people like yourself to other things. I mean, you've educated me on the way here. I was terrified of having laser eye surgery. I know I've got the starts of cataract. I'm going to come to you. You're going to sort me out. Definitely.
He's like that. He's like...
what I was going to say, you know, we say the person who learns the most in an education process is the person who's attempting to educate others, right?
Yeah.
And actually, you're absolutely right. Interacting like this, everybody learns from everybody.
We do.
I don't think that's a... If it's a one-way traffic, something's wrong. We have to talk to each other and, you know, understand. And often I might think I know what's best for you, but I don't really because I'm not you, you see. So by you educating me on what matters.
Well, it mattered to me that these are my eyes.
Yeah,
and my eyes are more important than my leg. I mean, the amount of things I've had go wrong with me, you know, I've managed to deal with. But if I lost my eyes, I would really be in a fix. And you've given me the courage to know that you won't lose my eyes.
Yeah.
I know you won't.
Well, you know, we say that, look, there's a lot of percentages in healthcare. We say 90% this, 95% that, 70% that.
Yeah.
But I always end by saying there is one thing that's 100%, and that's going to be my efforts, right? Because you can't do more than that, right?
I know. I trust
that's
you.
Beautiful, that
I
is.
I trust you. I absolutely, I trust you implicitly. I've met you for 5 minutes, well, an hour, I don't know, three but glasses of wine, I mean. But I trust you 100%.
But this is what I'm saying, you know, that I feel like we're just constantly, you know, where this evolves to with the podcast and whatever. I have no idea, you know, me and mum, it was actually a year ago today that I put something on Facebook about me and mum are thinking of doing a podcast, what should we call it? And now we're here a year later and we're in series three. We're talking about a musical. We've got a song coming out about checking your boobs with Tony Christie and Bernie Clifton in a cup. I mean, you know, and now we're sat having champagne with the wonderful Sid and his daughter Anya in Sprotbrett having a gorgeous time.
Amazing.
But yeah, I mean, does it, you know, for... In terms of, like, to say what you just said there is beautiful, you know, you will give your 100%. Is what you do, is it accessible to everybody? You know, because there is a lot of people that will sort of be thinking, well, I don't think I can, or you know, that's, oh, it's out of my remit, you know, it's not something I could ever do. But it is life-changing. I live with a partner whose eyes are terrible, and he's only 34. And please don't get your jokes about that. So that's why he's with you. Do you know what I mean? I've had that. But I can see the mental health side of how it affects, you know, as in that it's scary.
Sure. I mean, the easy answer is, yes, it is. All you have, if you're not sure, call and ask or send an email. And if we can help you, we'll let you know. And if we can't, we'll let you know. we try our best to find a solution, obviously. But we are also honest if we think that there isn't one. Because I think it's in my book, I think it's better for a person to know what the limitations are in terms of what's available to them than to create a false hope. I mean, we have to be sympathetic, of course. You can't be brutal about things, but at the same time, you have to be honest. It's finding that balance between honesty and sympathy or empathy, so that the person at the other end who is suffering understands the reality of what they have to live with. At the same time, you know, to the best of our abilities, we give them the support that we can.
Wow.
If not a cure, at least support.
Yeah.
To help them through their difficult journey.
That's so aligned with what I do with people with the risk of having a gene fault. It is so aligned, it's unbelievable. I make sure that people understand the limitations of all the options that they have available to them. For instance, do nothing if you've got a gene fault, or have screening, which won't prevent it, but hopefully it might catch it early. Go on a drugs scheme, which will reduce the risk, or go the full hog and have surgery. Now, I know that's not the same as you're saying, but what you have just said there is that you've introduced limitations of what you can actually do. And that's just so aligned with what I say. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I know we're talking about eyes and we're talking about breasts, but gosh, the ethic, the work ethic is identical.
That's the whole point, isn't it? You know, to anything, is that wherever we go, we want to make sure that I suppose in life in general, that everybody has all of the options available to them, knows what these options are, whether that is eyes, boobs, you know, downstairs bits, whatever. People are entitled to have all of the knowledge, right? Yep. And like you've always said, Mum, like, you know, all of the knowledge and then all the support, no matter what their
choice. Absolutely. Once people are empowered in knowing what's available, what can reasonably be done, then full support, no matter what their choice. But it needs to be an informed choice.
Exactly.
And you've just said that in a nutshell. So well done, you.
What's amazing about what you do, you guys do, is sometimes you can get a bit overwhelmed by the whole situation, right? And it's nice to have somewhere you can reach out to, which can get you started on that process of self-reliance. I mean, you can't do everything for everyone, right?
No.
But you can get them started. And I think that's a very important step. You know, you talked about losing weight, which we all struggle with.
Of course.
Says those two over there.
I'm allowed to say that I'm very self-like now.
This is coming from two people over there that they turned around and stuck their tongue out there like a zip.
I know.
No, we've sucked our tummies in for now and then. We'll be breathing out under the table so you can't see it. You know, I mean, we all go through this. And I think in that, in my family, there's a lot of people who suffered with obesity. I would say 90%, actually. And it's easy to say that it's all about intake. We know it's not. You know, there's genetic elements, there's environmental elements, and then the psychological elements too, because intake can be driven by psychology. So, yes, it is self, you know, discipline, and everything is in your own hands. Nobody can do it for you, but I think support can certainly help. So, you know, things you do, things we can do better, we try and do already, is to build on that, you know, improve the support services to make things easier for people.
Enhance your vision, enhance your life. Eye Correction Centre, where clear sight meets brighter future. Proud sponsors of the Mother Daughter Breast of Friends podcast.
Absolutely. But one of the biggest things is making yourself attainable. In that people are, and I see it because we get told it all the time, they're too scared. They feel like if they go and see a doctor or go and see a professor that they're going to feel stupid, or that they're going to be made to feel stupid, or that they're going to ask the wrong questions. And you wouldn't believe, I've got some very good friends of mine who are some of the smartest people I know, and certainly some of the most beautiful people I know, but are scared because they've had an experience where they've been and asked a question and been knocked down, or they don't know the right terminology to use, or they're scared that they're just going to look stupid. And the whole point is that, you know, if you don't know, the likelihood is loads of others don't know. And if you've got somebody that's going to make you feel stupid, then change.
Yeah.
You know, change your doctor.
Absolutely. That's good life advice. I mean, that's...
It really is. You're absolutely
and
right.
And, you know, I can sit here now and tell you from the 10 minutes I've known you that you know more about a lot of things that probably most doctors would know, especially when it comes to... But that means you've taken ownership as well. And you want to encourage...
It means so much to me that the time... ahead of everything. Yeah. I've just taken on something called Mama Wave, which is a different podcast, but a new form of breast screening, because I couldn't get the NHS to do it. So I've taken it on, and it works from 18 years old upwards. Yeah. And I've taken it on for the whole of the UK.
So I'm sure people watching this podcast will learn from that. Your energy.
Yes. I don't stop. I do not stop.
And it's driven. Yeah. It's driven with purpose and passion. Yeah.
Certainly not even with money. That's because I don't get any.
The whole point is that I remember the first time it really, really hit me was there was a young lady called Louise. And we did do something for quite a while called Louise's Legacy. And Louise was the same age as me when she passed away. She had a daughter the same age as mine. And she carried the same gene fault, but the gene had come down the male line and they didn't know. And I remember her saying, you know, Becky, if only I'd have known, I could have just done what you'd have done. And this would have been a totally different story. And she did a video for us and she was amazing because we do this thing called Make One Person Aware, You Save a Family, you know, which is, it is true. And she passed away only sort of like 4 weeks after doing that video. And I can't let anybody else not know. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's always wonderful, isn't it, Mum? Like, you know, once you've sort of saved yourself, the true feeling of gratitude and gratefulness comes when you can pass that to somebody else.
Absolutely. I mean, that has been my driving force for the last 30 years, but since the helpline started since I was asked to set it up nearly 28 years ago, I've had that one day off when I had the brain tumour removed because it's what I love doing, because it's rewarding. Every single call, people say, I don't know, I feel better speaking to you. And I think, wonderful. And you've taken the fear away. And I say, look, whenever you need me, I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm here. And like you've just said, you're offering people that you can't help with their eyes, but you're offering them support. I mean, it's a big thing. And I just do it because I do it. But when I hear other people doing it, I think it's lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you asked a very interesting question. I mean, you reflected on a very interesting point earlier. How did this, how are we able to sit like this a few months down the line? And obviously our connection is Anya and Steelworks and the music industry. But actually our journey with charities starts going back decades. You know, our family has always believed that to get through life in a manner that you feel will be fulfilling, you have to give probably as much as you receive, if not more. I mean, there's members of my family who give away 75-80% of their wage.
Wow.
Really?
It's not easy to do that, I'll tell you.
No, I'd be bankrupt. Yeah. But the house would be repossessed.
But they do.
Amazing.
And it's a different level of willingness to give away that you need to be able to do something like that. I wouldn't say we're anywhere close to that level of freedom in your mind, if you like.
Yeah.
But in our own way, we try every year to make a contribution and a difference. And it's been to all kinds of things over the years, some of which have caused big arguments in our families. You know, we've donated to tigers and leopards and great white shark preservation.
Wow.
Because it's not just the planet, isn't it? And everything that's on it that we want to feel like we've given something to. One thing I have realized over time is when you simply give, in some sense you're disconnected from that.
Yeah.
You don't really feel like you belong to that process once that donation has sort of left your presence, if you like. So what we started doing is looking out for people that we're connected to, that we can see how the contributions can make
a
change. And that is how I reached out to you.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean,
I could listen to you talk for ages.
Because I battle all the time for pennies running charity shops to keep the helpline going. And then you're saying that we want to reach out and we wanted to reach out to you. I'm sorry, I can't talk.
Sorry. But I mean, what an amazing ethos to have. And, I'm a big believer in the universe and energies, and there's a purpose why people are brought together. And, you know, you did reach out and said, I'd like to support what you're doing, which we were, you know, at that time I was still trying to get people to kind of believe in the podcast and try and help people to understand. Like I say, we are here where we are, and hopefully sort of more is going to come from this. But I feel as well that something's going to happen. Do you know what I mean? I feel like there's going to be so much more that we can do together. I'd really like to come back as well at some point to talk to you about eye prevention, you know, what you can do to help your eyes in the long run? Because I know that, you know, there are different things, and I think maybe what we could do, Sid, if it's all right with you, is do like a breakdown of small little podcasts of little sort of eye, are you all right there? Bless you. Aww. Little well-being, eye well-being tips that we could potentially give, because I think what we're doing right now is gonna go beyond the sort of realms of hereditary breast cancer. Obviously, it's gonna always be first and foremost, but it's about people, and it's about making sure people get the best chance at everything and have all the information that they can possibly have. And that might take us down I don't know how many different routes, but it doesn't matter, does it?
I would be very happy to support that and have some very, very highly expert colleagues who I'll be more than happy to bring on as well.
Amazing.
Because my specialty is not specifically cancer management, especially even around in and around the eyes, although we do deal with it in some form or the other. But there are colleagues I'm very dear friends with who are experts, global experts in this field. So the next time you want a podcast in that area, then I'll invite them along too, so we can sit like this and
Well, I've got that. To put up with three more glasses of wine and a bunch of tears, you know.
Amazing. I mean, this is how quickly these things go. I mean, I could chat for another 14 hours with you guys, and I'm quite sure we will do. But, you know, we've been chatting for 35 minutes now, and it's just literally flown by.
It's funny. Anya's last Christmas, you raised nearly £1,000, didn't you?
It was in Sheffield at Meadow Hall, and we ended up doing both. We did Cancer Research UK and we did Retina UK, and I don't know if people know a lot about it.
You know, every last penny, and I'm not joking when I say that, because we counted it on the dining table.
Yeah,
I made him carry all the heavy coins back in.
I can tell you this, it's not easy counting thousands of pennies.
No. I can just imagine. But you did. But this is obviously what's resonating, what's coming down from your dad, you know, and from your family, and that it's good to give back.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you as well, to be able to talk to you on the radio, it's dead easy then, you know, because you're doing such fantastic things, and you're coming to do a gig for us as well on June the 22nd, which I'm really excited about, because I'm going to tell you more about this on the podcast as we go. But June the 22nd, we're going to be doing a men's special. There are so many different elements to how either hereditary breast cancer affects men. We have the statistics as well, that the biggest killer in men is suicide under the age of 50. The biggest killer in women is breast cancer. But there's also many different sort of factors that do affect. So we're going to the Yorkshire Wildlife Park, which we know is on your doorstep. And you played there, haven't you?
Yes, we played there over Easter. It was really good fun.
Amazing. We're with our beautiful friends down at the Yorkshire Wildlife Park. We're going to do a special day for dads and their children to be able to get together if they have had a loss. Which,
it's brilliant work.
Again, we are going to talk about that a little bit more. But it's a case of, again, us opening our eyes and going, we see you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see you when we've got you.
Yeah,
exactly. So thank you for coming and doing that. And you'll be able to see some of the musical as well being presented on that day. I reckon Anya's got a part in it. You could play me, because obviously I looked like Anya when I was...
So did I. That worked really nicely. Just take all the glory yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So I looked
actually,
like.
I do see a little bit of a similarity.
Yeah, we are. We're very similar, darling, aren't we? Yes. Yeah, we're very similar.
If you're not looking at social media, you'll see that Anya is gorgeous.
Thanks, guys.
Totally gorgeous. Yeah. So do you know what song shall we play of yours to finish with?
Ooh. My favourite, I think it's actually the one that came out last, actually. It's called Perfect Crime, and it's my little baby. I'm so proud of it. So
we were going to end our podcast this time with Anya Goll and The Perfect Crime, but before we finish,
I have to say that all of these heartbreak songs makes you want to kill someone who's at the other end.
Oh, don't even. You know, you hear all these heartbreak songs and everything, and obviously when you're on the radio, everyone's asking, you know, who inspired this, but what you don't see is Dad in the corner who's like fuming.
Comes out listening to the song singing.
He's like, who was it?
Who was responsible for this song?
Drop a name. That's all I want. I don't... A name and an address.
That's absolutely brilliant. I never really thought about it from that point of view. Like, yeah, brilliant. You're listening to, can you imagine being Olivia Rodrigo's dad?
Exactly. I want to kill someone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, honestly, it's
you'll have to take out half of California. I don't know if you can put that.
It is wonderful to be sat here with you. We will come back and do more. Thank you so much for your incredible support. Sid, where can people find out more about you? Well, obviously, it'll be on all of our social media pages, etc. But where can people find out more about you?
The easiest thing is to Google us. Our service is called eyecorrectioncentre.co.uk. So if you look that up, you can find a lot of information. But in fact, you've given me an idea. I'm going to create a subsection on educational elements. I mean, we do that on social media, but I'll drop it on the website as well, so that, you know, even little things
well
like this,
you.
Podcasts and whatnot,
well
can be
you.
Helpful to
yeah.
people in the long
yeah.
term.
You see, this is what happens when we all get together. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying that we're all a bit neuro-spicy, but you put a load of creatives together and boom.
All the creatives are neuro-spicy.
Yes.
It's just a rule of thumb.
Neuro-spicy.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. What is neuro-spicy?
You don't need to know. It's fine. Me and Andy will manage that.
Yeah, we'll find out over lunch.
We'll educate you guys.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
You can't achieve what you guys have achieved without being a little bit neuro-spicy.
Well, I'm glad that we've passed our neuro-spiciness on to our children. What do you think? Lovely to meet you.
Just means we're always late. Anya, introduce your song, darling.
My name is Anya Goel, and this is Perfect Crime. I was trying to be the best version of me. Then I woke up overthinking everything. Stop trying to convince you not to leave, 'cause you're already moving on while I was just naive. 'Cause she's older and she's cooler and she has the missing parts of me. Have you told her the same lines that you fed to me? And oh, your mother's life. You cross your heart and hope to die. Throw me scraps of poor replies. How you keep your conscience clear, I'll never know. Hope she's smarter and she's faster and she gets out while she's still unscathed. If I knew her,